Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are now listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Today I have a special show because we will be starting off with an interview with a bunch of guys who are up in here now who are representing a whole bunch of different groups that recorded. So it will definitely be an interesting story. And they recorded a lot of great records that we will be playing, so you should keep tuned. So the groups that recorded that the people in here are representing are the Siberians, the Intentions, the New Testament Band, and the Faces. Is that right?
Yes,
sir. So, could you guys introduce yourselves?
Sure. I'm Kenneth Williams, known as Smokey, New Testament Band.
Okay.
Andre Cunningham, known as Poochie, New Testament Band.
Okay.
Wilson Drummer, known as Wilson, the Drummer, New Testament Band.
Anthony Thomas, New Testament Band.
Okay, so, and what part is everybody from the same part of Chicago?
Outside!
And what specific area is everybody from?
43rd.
Yeah. Or as they call it nowadays, Bronzeville.
Bronzeville.
Do you call it Hyde Park back then? Or
no.
Just
no,
didn't
no.
have a name?
The Low End.
The Low End. That's what we named
it. We were 43rd, basically.
The 43rd and what?
Forestville.
Forestville, Vincent,
King Drive,
okay.
King Drive, any place from the Dan Ryan all the way over to Lake Park.
We had a street from 44th Vincent to 44th Forestville called New Testament Lane.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that's right.
That's what it was.
That's right, 44th Forestville.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, first of all, how I guess it's kind of there's a bunch of groups to talk about. So I'll first talk about the Intentions. So who here was in the group The Intentions?
Me, Anthony Thomas.
And so how did you first get involved with music?
Ooh. I've been singing ever since I was a child. I think my first interest in music was it's really kind of weird. It's the Ringer washing machine was moving. And I start singing whatever that line was to the washing machine moving. I tell you, it was kind of weird.
Okay.
So then on, I knew that music was part of me, and I had been singing ever since I was a kid, ever since I was a little boy, a very little boy.
What type of, like, artists and music inspired you?
Ooh, the Dales. R&B, all types of music. Basically, the Dales was probably my favorite R&B group. I had a lot of stuff that I used to hear, like, on the Ed Sullivan Show. I liked, like, Perry Como and people like that. I liked everybody.
Okay. So, the Intentions, were they the first group you sang with?
No, that's not the first group I sang with. The first group I sang with was with me and Will. Me and Wilson.
Okay.
Right here. Me and Will.
What was the name of the group?
The Chandelle.
Chandelle.
The Chandelle.
And how old were you when the group formed?
Ooh, we had to be about... Will?
Yeah.
I had to be about 11.
He had to be about 11. I had to be about... Nah, no, I was about 13.
Okay.
I was about 13.
And when was that? Was that the late 60s? Do you remember what year the group formed?
Yeah, it was in the late 60s. Yeah.
Okay. And, I mean, you weren't even in high school. You were just in grade school kind of harmonizing.
Yeah. Well, we was in the newspaper at an early age. We was in the newspaper, what was it, Defender?
Yeah.
We did our first little talent show.
Yeah.
And
it's like, man, I can't believe these little boys can sing like this. And they put us in there, and they brought the newspaper there for us.
Yeah, we had front page.
Where was the talent show you did?
In Fuller School.
Fuller School, on 42nd and St. Lawrence.
Yeah.
And you were just in grade school, so.
Yeah, we were little tiny tots.
Do you remember what you sang?
Yeah, we sung
Old Man River
and Over the Rainbow.
And Over the Rainbow.
Right.
Yeah.
And were there other groups in your neighborhood that you looked up to?
Yeah.
Older,
the
one we talked about.
The Symbols of Love, which Chris Arnold, who sings with the Temptations, came from.
That's Omar's brother.
Omar Arnold. That's
he was up in
there. Yeah, that's part of that. We used to sing the gospel group together.
Okay.
Me, him, and Chris, and Pastor T.L. Barrett. Yeah.
And so they were older than you, and that's a group that you looked up to.
They, they actually taught
Chris
us.
Chris was one of our teachers, but we owe all our talent and music singability to Ronnie Leslie Ross.
Ronnie Leslie Ross, who was the lead singer of Chris and Chris's group, which was the Symbols of Love.
Right.
Yeah, and we also, like I said, one of our first stars that we ever saw was Ronnie Quinn from
the Dynamic Tents.
Dynamic Tense.
Tense, right.
Yeah.
Tense,
he came in and sung in front of us. We were like the, Will and I was like the little babies of the block who could actually sing. So the big boys would let us sing with
show us off on that.
They'll put us, you come sing this, with them.
So you were originally in a group called the Shandells.
Yeah.
Was it spelled with an S-H? Shand, like Shand?
C-H.
C-H.
Okay. And you did like local talent shows.
Yeah.
And then what happened? How the intentions form?
I started to high school, so I thought I was too big to sing with Will and
he ran off and left.
I ran off and left there because I started in high school and I didn't want to sing with this little bumpy little boy.
What school did you go to?
I went to Forsman High School.
Okay, where's the high school?
4401 St. Lawrence.
Okay.
Forsman High School.
And so you started high school and you joined another group?
Yeah, I got some bigger boys from off the block. And actually, it was Ruffles and Michael Gray, Ruffles and them. I started singing with them. We ended up being the Dynamic. We was the Dynamic Five or something.
Yeah.
And then that didn't last long because they were Jehovah's Witnesses, so they couldn't sing with us.
Okay.
And they couldn't sing with us. We were a good group, but they couldn't sing with us. So then it was actually in that group. It was those brothers, and then it was Cotton, Reginald Cotton, Cornelius President. And me. So after they left, we got two other guys, Maceo Thomas and Richard Weddington. And that's how the intentions formed.
So you're saying you were in a group called the Dynamic Five, and two of them left.
Jehovah's Witness.
And you replaced two of them to form the intentions.
Actually, yeah.
Okay, so the intentions, there were five guys.
Yeah.
And you ended up actually recording a record, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
How long were you together before you recorded?
Oh, we had to be together about a year and a half, a year or something like that.
And you were all were you just your starting off in high school at that point?
Or I was always in every group I've been in. I've always been the oldest.
Okay.
So, but you know, I've always been the oldest. So I was probably a year and a half older than the rest of the guys.
But you were like freshman at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a sophomore, and I think. I was a sophomore when I met Cotton, because Cotton was a freshie.
And what was the name of the record you recorded?
Blowing with the Wind and Dig It. Dig It was the A side, and Blowing with the Wind was the B side.
And Dig It was like a funk side, and Blowing with the Wind was a ballad.
Yeah.
Well, I hopefully have it queued on the cassette tape.
Oh, man, okay.
I'm going to play it, and then we can talk about how the record got recorded and what the story was. So hopefully I got the right song. I think this is The Intentions with Blowing with the Wind. Blowing with the wind, is that right?
Blowing with the wind.
Okay, here it is. Okay, that was just a group called The Intentions with Blowing with the Wind. And if you're just tuning in, I have members of The Intention and a bunch of other groups all from this neighborhood pretty much talking about their music. So you were just talking about how when did that get recorded, actually?
It had to be 1970 or 71. 71.
And can you talk about who are the five members singing on the record and what part each person sang?
Okay, it was Maceo Thomas. No relation to me. Maceo Thomas. Everybody went to Forestville High School. Maceo Thomas was bass. He was a 15-year-old, genuine, real bass singer. Cornelius President was a tenor. He led the song. Reginald Cotton, he did second and baritone. And Kumaku, which is Richard Weddington, also sung second and first.
Okay, and so what's the story? How did you end up getting a record?
A guy saw us singing, and he drove past. We was on Maceo's porch, and he drove past, and he got out the car. And he said his name was Arthur Du Bois, and he had been hearing us before, he had seen us before, and he asked, did we want to make a record? Were we a real group? And were we serious? And he came and talked to us a couple of times, and next thing I knew, he took us in the studio.
So he just saw you singing on a porch, you're saying?
Yeah,
you
singing on a porch. Now, he probably had been, we had been rehearsing over Maceo House for about a year or so over there, so he probably heard about us.
So that record... it came out on a label called Tiki.
Tiki label.
Was that his label?
You know, it's not to my awareness if that was his label or one of the Pharaohs or something that had to do with the Pharaohs. I wasn't sure. I was a kid. I didn't even care about the label. I didn't even know.
So how were the Pharaohs involved with it?
The Pharaohs was the one who wrote the music and played it.
So they're the band on
there,
too?
They're the band on there. And we met them that day.
Okay, so you never knew them before?
Never knew them.
But did you know of them because they were playing in
Chicago?
Oh, my,
yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Heard of the Pharaohs. Yeah, who didn't? Yeah.
But they were West Side and you were South Side.
Yeah.
Well, actually, were they playing South?
They were, they were West Side, but they did a lot of rehearsal on the South Side. I knew a guy named Chuck Bernard.
The singer, Chuck Bernard?
Yeah, Chuck Bernard. Actually, they rehearsed in some way where he was playing, because I remember after we had did the song, we came over there, and that's where they were rehearsing.
Okay.
So that's how I knew of the Pharaohs.
Do you remember where you recorded it?
We recorded at a place at Les Tucker Studios. I know that's the same place where they supposed to do Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe. That's all I remember.
Where was it?
It was north somewhere.
Okay. And so you pressed up the record, and it's a pretty obscure record. Did it get any play?
Yeah, it did. Okay. It got a little airplay. It played it, a couple of times. Well, they was playing any local stuff then. It got a little airplay.
Okay.
But it didn't get much in Chicago. We did get some airplay in, when we was going back and forth to some of the other little bitty spots that he took us to in Peoria or something like that. We were getting played and stuff like that. But we never did get a lot of play in Chicago.
So that was your manager, Arthur Du Bois?
Arthur Du Bois, yes.
And so you said you were doing shows. It was while you were in high school.
Yeah.
When did you do shows? Like, was it on the weekends? Or
yeah, we did, I don't know if Will didn't remember, but did you all do it too? We used to do the little Tuesday night talent shows at the Green Bunny, Bonanza, mm-hmm. Beale Street, those places. But we were so young, we had to sit in the back until showtime came.
Right.
I think actually one of the pictures has us, you can see the Green Bunnies on the wall.
Okay.
So we was there, all the young guys like Daryl Fletcher and stuff like that, man, we were little kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the other side of the record, it was called Get It, is that right?
Dig It.
Dig It.
Yeah.
And it was like a funk kind
of,
was it like a conscious type funk record?
Yeah, Dig It was, the name of it was Dig It, and it was saying what you used to dig was just the shovel. The name of it was Dig It Shovel.
Okay.
And shovel was supposed to represent your mind.
So it, and it was like a Temptation style, like
sort of that record. Yeah, psychedelic, like, everybody.
Like Ball of Confusion type
absolutely.
Record.
Yeah.
And the types of shows, you said you did shows in like Peoria, like what's the deal with that? Like you traveled actually?
Yeah, we did little shows in Peoria, little small places. I mean, we played in a place called like the Band Box and stuff like that. A lot of those places, the Jackson 5 would be just left. Those little places that we were back then.
And what types of stuff did you do at your shows?
We did just the R&B stuff that was out. You know, the regular Shy Lights and stuff that was out. We did a lot of... We were little young boys, but we did a lot of grown stuff.
Okay.
We did a lot of Temptation stuff, but we did stuff like Impossible Dream and stuff. We really... it's kind of funny. I just couldn't stand to do talent shows with Will and them group, the Siberians, because they would kick our butts doing steps and stuff like that. And then we would get up there and try to sing all big grown folk stuff and get burnt out, blew out by them, because they would do like the R&B stuff on the chart and wipe us out. But we would do try to do the Impossible Dream, those big songs, you know, for big, that we were little bitty kids doing big stuff like that.
And
complicated, real complicated songs.
Did you play with the Pharaohs, or did you have a band? What was the story with that?
No. So
just a house band anywhere?
Whoever was there. We had a band called From the Womb to the Tomb.
That's Bosco.
That's what it is?
That's the band that became Bosco.
God just brought it to my awareness this week. I did not remember
that. But they had an album.
But that's what he's
yeah.
playing behind us.
Okay.
He told me, I was like, I do not remember who them boys were. From the Womb to the Tomb, man.
But the guy's name was Steve Cobb, I think, was the band
leader.
Were
they from the West Side?
I think so. But they were part of the whole Afro heritage.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's who it was, then.
Okay. So how long did the Intentions stay together?
We stayed together for maybe about 2 or 3 years. 2 years. It seemed like a long time, but it probably wasn't that long. About 2 years. And after the record, we kind of broke up again. And that's when we all started hanging in Aurora.
Mm-hmm. So you were just pretty much in high school, and it didn't last after high school.
No, it really didn't last after high school.
And so let's get to the story then of the other group that was associated with the Siberians.
Oh, yes.
So you guys had sung together. What was the name of that group? The
Shandells.
Shandells. And Anthony had left to be with the Intention. So what happened with you?
So me and Ray, Ray was playing the basketball. He was the leader of the group, Ray Anthony.
Okay.
And it was me, Ray Anthony, and like I said, Mr. Thomas, when we first started out younger. So after Anthony left... Ricky Mosby, you're right, was our bass singer. But Anthony went on to the Intention, so we was just in school, and music started passing us by, you know. We like was like, what are we going to do, you know? So Ray had met Shelby Prince, which was the lead singer of both sides of the record.
Okay.
And
he went to high school with you?
Yeah, we all went to Forestville High School.
Okay.
And Ray was a basketball player, and Shelby was too. And that's how they started talking. And Shelby had saw us, Anthony, me, Ray, we were the Shandells. We had did the Upgrade Center thing.
Mm-hmm. That you did the what, I'm sorry?
Upgrade Center. That's when we were eighth grade. And Anthony went to high school. But
okay.
We had a talent show that we needed to do in 7th, 8th grade for our music teacher named Ms. Hartsalt.
Okay.
So Anthony had to come over from the high school to do the show with us because we was like under. So we was all dressed in our black and our pink. That was our regular clothes. And we was the first group that had routines with no music.
And real harmony.
And real harmony.
Okay.
And we just blew them away. So Shelby and Ray had met after this, because Anthony was still with the Intentions, you know, years went on. And they decided to get together. So Shelby Prince had a guy he was singing with called James Bailey.
Okay.
Which was me and Ray Anthony and Wilson Drummond. So we said, well, let's get together and have a rehearsal and see how this comes out. So we rehearsed, and it turned out we had some nice sound together. But we needed that other piece that Anthony had. They had a real bass singer.
Okay.
So we needed a bass singer. So James Bailey, he said he knew a bass singer. So I was against it. You know, I wanted to be like the, you know. The harmony is great now, but they kept on insisting about this bass singer. So we got Gregory Dukes was the bass singer.
Okay.
And that's how the Siberians formed.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I was looking at the name over there.
And that's how the Siberians formed.
Okay.
And
Who came up with the name of Siberians?
Gregory Dukes.
Okay.
Our manager, Silverita Edmond, we was at Bonanza one night, and she said, "You all need a name. You need something. You need something that's going to be flashy. You need something that's going to strike the attention." And we all sitting there waiting on the car to come. We had our suits on. You know, after it's all over, the lights gone off, we stand on the corner, and Greg comes up with the name, the Siberians.
Okay.
And we're like, oh, that's out of sight.
She just thought of it out of nowhere.
Yeah, and so Silvery said, that's it. The Siberians, we put fur and stuff on you guys and dress you up like Eskimos, and it's going to be, you come out of you know, and it took off.
And I forgot to ask Anthony, how did you come up with the name of the Intentions?
You know, I really don't know. I think
because you know there was another Intentions in Chicago.
You know,
I
didn't know that until I saw it on the Blue Light.
Blue Light label.
On the compilation.
Some bootleg, but
yeah.
I'm saying they were on a label called Blue Light, but mm-hmm. they spelled their name with an S or something. They spelled it wrong.
Yeah.
So you don't know how you got the name.
No, I think Cotton came up with the name.
Okay, well, let me play the Siberians record. I think both sides of this are like one of the best sweet soul records of Chicago. Both sides are great. So I'm going to play the A side. This is called "This Is the Ending of Our Love."
It was only yesterday when you stole my heart away. I know this is the end, so I'm asking you, where are my friends? 'Cause this is the ending.
Okay, that was just the Siberians with "This Is the Ending of Our Love." And what year did that record come out?
71.
And who sings lead on the record?
Shelby Prince.
And what are the parts that everyone else sings?
Well, Shelby Prince did the lead. He was the first tenor and lead vocalist. James Bailey was the other tenor. He did first tenor.
Okay.
Myself, Wilson Drummer, wrote the record. I did second.
Okay.
Ray Anthony did baritone. And Gregory Deuce was the bass. singer.
And had you ever written a song before?
No, my first writ.
Okay, you did well on your first try.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So how did you, you just wrote out the lyrics and made up a melody pretty much?
No, it was a story.
Okay, what's the story behind the record?
It was the story of...
Can I tell?
No. No, it was a story of my first baby's mother. My first child mother.
Okay.
She was kind of a bad girl, and she left me, and I was mostly in love.
Okay.
Yeah, and... You know, you can hear the words when I say, ask my friends and all this, you know. And these were my friends, Anthony and Cotton. They knew what she was up to. But I did, you know. And,
I didn't know that. Come on.
It was kind of rough, you know. But it came out pretty good. The record did great.
I like how you...
It was our first airplay.
And you even have a monologue like that.
Yeah, the bass singer does a monologue. Yeah. Me and Greg got together, and he put that together, you know. He asked me about it, and he... It say hurt more pain, you know. So it was all right.
And that's the A side that got played,
that was
right?
The A side.
And the B side is really nice too. It's called "Crying Baby Won't Help the Hurt."
Yeah, it was like the answer.
And okay, yeah. But it's like it's like dissing the woman at that point. She's like you can't cry; it's not going
to
help.
Yeah, yeah, right. She wants to come back. You know.
So that record it got play in Chicago,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
Do you remember where it was recorded?
We had went down to Capitol, and they sent us to one of their subsidiary studios to record it, because, you know, they wanted to buy the group, but Richard, and they wouldn't sell it.
Your manager?
Yeah, they wanted to buy the whole lock, stock, and barrel, but our manager wouldn't, you know.
That's it, yeah, because there were a bunch of groups on Capitol in Chicago.
Right, right.
Did you know any of the, there was a group called the Congenial Four?
I didn't know any.
How did you get with your manager originally?
Shelby's cousin named Shelton. He was the drummer, and he played with a lot of groups that Richard and them had. Like they had.
Was he with the Flares also? Because I think he was a member of the Flares. Shelton Du Bois.
No, this was Shelton.
I'm sorry, I got the names mixed up. Okay,
but anyway, Richard had groups like the Love Horns, and he had other groups. And Seston would play behind all the top acts. So we had got to that point, we had got that good where he said, well, I'm going to bring y'all in. And let's still Rita and Richard and them hear you all. And we passed the test, and we had started growing from there. So after that, we had started doing so many shows, and we started getting known. And it was time for a record.
Okay.
So Richard brought in Rangers.
How long were you before you recorded? How long were you together?
We waited one whole year before we did our first show. Ray wouldn't let us come out, you know. He worked us hard, you know. We had to try to catch up with the master here.
So you were just practicing every day?
We practiced for a whole year before we did our first show. And then after that, things started going so fast. I guess into the second year, we was in recording.
And one thing that's interesting is there's actually two versions of the record released. I was telling you about it. There's two mixes, and the label looks a little bit different. Do you know what
this is? I think Richard went back in to... they had told him that the bass had to be done over. They wanted more heavier bass. And like I asked you, see, you had a second version. We did a version with strings on Crying Baby, but like I haven't heard the version that you have. But, I mean, only thing I can see, the bass was raised up on the second one that you said was different.
Okay, and that got play in Chicago. Did both sides get play, or this is the ending was the main side?
The ending of Our Love. And if you called in, it would play the flip side.
And you were talking about your shows. You had choreography and fancy suits.
Yes, I specialized in all that. Me and Shelby. No, I take that back.
Seth.
Shelby Prince and Seth was our choreographer.
Seth was
out of sight.
And did you do similar types of shows that the Intentions did, like clubs and?
Well, we never like I said, we was up under management. So wherever Rich and them would have us, you know, that's where we had to go. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
So what? But did he take you to similar types? Did you do like clubs or?
Yeah, we did clubs. We did wedding parties. We did a lot of things for nursing homes and stuff like that. Silver Rita, she was a nurse at the time, so we did a lot of nursing home things for elderly people.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you did shows, you did similar types of shows in terms of the music you did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And how long did the Siberians stay together?
After high school, we stayed together maybe 2 years after.
Oh, so you stayed together longer than the Intentions
did. Yeah, Richard and them still had us out there for a while. And after that, we graduated from high school, we started going out on our own. Just, you know, the name was already out. So
Cotton actually left the intention to end up being a Siberian.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I forgot about
I
that.
I did too.
Cotton, James Bailey left. He had started working, and he couldn't make a rehearsal, so we went and got Reznor Cotton.
So were you doing it professionally after school, like
yeah.
clubs every week
yeah.
and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you still had day jobs, right? You were just...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did the group break up when, around the mid-70s, something like that?
I think made it by the end of 73.
We started going to Roar.
Yeah, 73. Okay. So Ray Shelby graduated in 73. I had to do an extra year from singing in the hallway, so I graduated in 74. So...
So that group was together. So what was, and then broke up. What was the next musical thing that everyone was involved with? Was it the New Testament band?
Yeah, that's when the New Testament came. We went off to Aurora to start playing gospel.
Why did you go to Aurora? Just some people moved there.
The keyboard player who played behind us in school, he was out there playing for a group, church called Progressive.
Okay.
And he needed musicians, so I played drums and Cotton played guitar.
Okay.
And Anthony played percussion.
So you were playing in a group in church?
No, they were actually the musicians. I came, since we were all friends, you know, I was like, where y'all going every weekend? We going to Aurora to play. So I went up there, and I just ended up getting in the choir. That's
yeah,
what it
right,
was. I ended
right.
up just actually being in the choir. But we actually end up being a group after that. We actually end up being a group after that. The original New Testament actually came from out of that.
Out of that, yeah.
So when did the New Testament band form, or the group part of it form?
Okay, after we left Aurora, it was actually just me, Cotton, and Will. And we wasn't the New Testament yet. Let me tell you, because see, you don't know.
Who was the other guitar player?
That was Bill. But that's
Bill,
what
yes,
say.
Kuma,
it was Bill
yes.
and Kuma Koo.
Yes.
Which Kuma Koo actually came from Intentions.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, Will and I and Cotton was coming across the street from the playground from Cookie House.
Mm-hmm.
And Cotton said, well, we need to name the group. Well, he said, it should be the something. And he said, Revelation or New Testament. I said, let's be New Testament. And that's how we got to be New Testament. So, we ended up being New Testament. Then, after New Testament, with Cool and Bill, didn't work good. This is the fast version. Didn't work real good. Me and Will went off to go with these two dudes somewhere, little Ricky Dee dude who was playing with the strong dudes.
Okay.
And then Cotton came and told us, man, you got to come get with us with these little young boys. And that was Reggie and Poochie. They had to be real teenagers. We was grown.
How old y'all then?
They had to be about 15.
I was 16, he was 15.
Yeah, because I was...
They was remarkable.
They were unbelievable at 15.
Were you guys singers, or you also played instruments? Or?
They played.
No, we played. That's
when we met Smokey,
my cousin Reggie. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Smokey was with them.
And Smoke Dog, as I call him.
Okay.
We had got together, and we just wanted to, you know, we wanted to do something a little bit different than what everything else that was going out there with all the other young kids.
Okay.
So we had a drummer. I learned how to play guitar a little bit, and my cousin Reggie, he was just out there. I mean, he knew how to do it on that bass. He was the guy.
Who taught him in school?
He actually, believe it or not, there was me and Reggie went over to one of our friend's house, and he had a guitar. He showed us one string, a song. Doom, 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 doom. That's what he showed us. Reggie took it way up.
Level.
When I met Cotton, don't get me wrong, I was doing it, but when you all came in and brought Cotton in, he took me to the level where I wanted to go with it. He was already with the percussion level, Smoke Dog. So that's how that happened. And when they came in, they're like, oh, hey, we
like
like you.
It was like the Ozzy Brother thing, 3+3.
And
okay.
I'm like,
we quit. Me and Will was like, I ain't going back to the mother dude. We go over to these little young boys.
Yeah.
So I'm confused, actually, because you guys were originally all vocal groups.
Yeah.
And then how'd you start picking up instruments?
Well, this would happen. Will always wanted to be a drummer. Anyway. But when I was with the Intentions, with vocal groups was going out.
Yeah.
And they told us, man, you're going to... Because Jackson 5 was happening. War was happening.
Mm.
They told us, man, the singing group stuff, you're going to have to learn how to play.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be a self-contained band. That's when I said, man... And then I saw this group called Sons of Slums, and I said, I can play percussion.
Okay.
So then I started playing conga. I started playing conga. And I went from there, and then we all picked up. We'll start playing drums. Like you said, he just jumped up and started playing. Cotton always had music in him because Cotton actually was a trumpet player.
Right. So was all that happening after the groups broke up?
Yeah.
You decided to pick up instruments?
Yeah. After the groups broke up, we started picking it up. I wanted to be a guitar player. So they had a band. I had bought a guitar. So I started playing, and I heard them in the background talking about, we got to do something about Asti. We can't play, which I could not play. I wanted to be a guitar player. I could not play. So I didn't feel bad. I knew I could sing. So I was like, you remember that we was on David Thomas' house? I can't play, man. Wow. So I was like, I put the guitar down. And I said, well, I get some timbales.
I said, get some timbales. He said, what am I going to do? I said, play him. He closed his eyes and got beat.
Uh-huh. But I didn't like him. I really was a much better conga player than I was a timbale player. But timbale just happened to be the thing, you know, and it looked good. And I was the one type of, I started buying every piece of equipment it was. Mm-hmm. So I had a big setup and it looked real nice.
It's like when you went and got the kalimba and you wanted to start doing that. Mm-hmm. You never know that, do you?
Yeah, that was how I had the kalimba.
Okay, so there were originally three older guys and three younger guys that came together. Who were the three older guys that came together?
Andrew Thomas, Wilson Drummer, and Reginald Cotton.
And who were the three younger guys?
Andre, Skinner, and my cousin Reggie.
And what instruments did each of you guys play?
I play rhythm guitar. He was drums, and Reggie was a bass player.
Okay. And you guys sang and played?
Yeah, and Cotton played guitar. Cotton didn't stop playing guitar. So, like I said, we had originally, New Testament was playing anyway. Before we met them, we were playing anyway because Will was playing drums. I was playing timbales. Cotton was playing guitar.
Were you just playing like local shows?
We did the neighborhood called Caesar's Palace.
Caesar's
Palace.
So we really had a good reputation for singing. Everybody knew us for singing anyway. But when it came to Will Cottonhead and Cottonhead, I don't want to say that on record. That's his nickname, Cottonhead. But me, Will, and Cotton.
Okay.
You know, we were just known as singers there anyway. All through school, we was always the singers. The gangbangers didn't bother us or nothing. If gangbangers got around, they was like, I'll leave them alone. Them the singing boys.
Right. Yep. We can go through any neighborhood.
Anywhere.
We know that they sang. Let them go.
Everybody knew us. Even the other groups, some of the other groups that you interviewed, the Suspects, they were friends of ours.
But they were in the same neighborhood as
you. They were the same neighborhood. We went all went to the same school. Clifton played with us for a few minutes. Clifton Lott played with us for a few minutes.
He played with a New Testament band.
For a few minutes.
Maybe about a month.
We were looking for a keyboard. We were the only group that was doing what we was doing, but we didn't have a keyboard player. We didn't need a keyboard player.
What year did the three older guys meet the three younger guys?
I tell you exactly when it was. 1977 in the beginning, 1978.
Right.
I know.
How long had you been together before? How long had the New Testament band been together before that?
Since 1970, about five. After we left Aurora,
okay.
About 75.
So all six of you got together, and I want to get to. We've been talking for a while. I want to get to play the record, and we can talk a little bit more. So you ended up cutting a record called "Get Testimized and Say Yes."
Kenneth Williams right here led Testimized.
He did Testimized.
It was a rap, actually.
It was a rap.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we didn't know.
We didn't know that.
I pulled half the in there. I pulled half. I said, "Rap ain't gonna be nothing but a fad." I pulled half of the rap song out. When rap first started, I should have listened to you, Smokey. I'm sorry, man. But we all agree, it ain't going to happen.
Yep.
We're a singing group. So we pulled it out, a singing band. So we pulled it out. But he still got rap in there. You can hear him rapping on there.
Okay, and then there was a ballad side called Say Yes.
My goodness, what a cut.
Which side do you want me to play?
Hey, it don't make no difference.
And flip a coin.
Okay, well, I'll play the Say Yes side, and if we have time, I'll play the other side.
Okay.
This is the New Testament band with Say Yes, and when this finishes, we'll talk more about how it got recorded and how the group continued to get together. So this is the New Testament band with Say Yes. Thank you. Okay, that was just the New Testament band with their record called Say Yes, and that came out around 1981, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, sir.
And we kind of skipped over some of the story because just to get ahead and play the record. So I want to go back and talk about, we were just around 1978 where six guys came together.
Yes.
And then you got more guys together in your band too, right?
Yes.
What, so how did you meet more people?
They started coming.
They started coming.
The area was out.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Horn section.
We got a horn section.
Yep.
Yeah.
Actually, they had a percussion player there before I started. Tall, light-skinned guy. What was his name? Big Bird? Tall, light-skinned guy. Y'all remember him?
Percussion
player with who? He was Reggie's friend. And he played conga, one conga.
Talking about Kevin Cotton. Kevin Cotton, don't get me, he's not any relationship to other Cotton.
Him.
No, he was one of me and Reggie's friends.
Right, right.
And, you know, he was with us.
Yeah. Anyway, we got a horn section. We rehearsed
every day. Every day.
So we got, with us being older, Will and I and Cotton being older, we were able to almost coerce them into doing some real hard stuff. Cotton and I, we always like doing hard stuff, so we just didn't always do the regular little fun, the little bitty simple stuff. We did. We tried to do, which I really liked them. I'm not talking about this stuff. We didn't do simple stuff. We did Earth, Wind, and Fire stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And we really introduced them into working hard, doing Earth, Wind, and Fire stuff. We did hard song, harmony songs.
Yes, yes.
We did
Bohemian Rhapsody.
We did Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We did stuff like that in our show.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And we did all kinds. We had an outstanding stage show.
Oh,
our stage show was great. Then we ended up with a horn section. We had a five-piece horn section with two trombone players. They thought we was crazy, but we had two bone players, no keyboards. No. And we loved playing. We were an exciting show band, it was good. Cotton brother ended up playing Bone. It was Cotton and Johnny Cotton.
Okay.
And Creasebone, well, Daryl Creasebone, we called him Creasebone because he played the Bone so hard. We called him Creasebone.
Mm-hmm.
He was the leader of the horn section.
Yes.
So. What kind of shows? You said you had a nice show. What kind of shows? Like, where did you play around that time?
Oh man!
Oh, wow. Okay, here we go.
We played everywhere. Then we got to be like, we were a local band at first, just a local little Chicago group. Then we got to start playing with the Dales was the one that put us on our big show.
Yeah, it was our
first big show. They opened the door for us. We went from there to playing with every group that came in.
Every top came in Chicago. They had us growing up.
Where were the venues, though?
Air Crown
Theater.
Dallas Entertainment Center.
Dallas Entertainment Center. We played with the group Champagne on the west side, the big place.
What's that big place on the west side?
UIC Pavilion. Yeah, stuff like
USC that. You played much larger venues.
We played the stadium.
We even one day, I think, one of the greatest shows, I think, that we ever did. And then I was so surprised. One year we did the Bud Billion.
Okay.
Yeah, Bud Billion parade. And we were there, and it was raining.
Got on the float.
And we all prayed right then and there, like we usually do before each show. And next thing you know, the clouds, boom. We start going down King Drive, and everybody just started following us.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Jesse Jackson jumped off of his float, and his group came and said, "Can he get on your float?"
And actually, and that was a big deal.
That was a very big deal.
What year was that?
That was 83.
Yeah, 83.
It was 83. And that was a big deal for us because we got a chance to do. When Mayor Hatcher was still running, Gary had that great big convention.
Mm-hmm.
And when Hatcher was there, we played for that.
Yeah, we played for Harold Washington.
That's right. We also played for
Harold Washington. We were doing the bigger venues here, all the big things. New Testament had first dibs on everything. Then it got to the point where, I don't know if I can say this on the band, but they was like, Axe was coming in, and they would, you know, they would say, well, who we gonna put on the act show with us? Say, well, we got a group like you could use Magnum Force, you could use so and so, you could use New Testament. Nope, don't put New Testament on with us.
Yeah, we were
Nope, do not put New Testament.
It was, the top acts we couldn't get on the shows with.
Because they didn't want to do shows with you.
I mean, no, we did.
We was coming for them.
We did a show one night with the Satellites. And after that show with the Satellites that night, what's the DJ name? That's
Richard
McKee. What's his name?
Richard Pickey.
Yes. The next morning,
it was just a good.
He gave a good review. Okay. And from that point forward, no more.
Yeah, so we started. I mean,
you're saying acts were mad that you were showing them up.
The Barcades would come all the way from Memphis to see us and for function. They couldn't believe these young guys sound like Earth, Wind, Fire. We just tried to master it.
What's it called? Rolls Royce came to our dressing room. We had got nominated for this award. Rolls Royce said, I had to come see you all, man. I saw you here. It's these groups, this young boys, New Testament.
Yep.
Rolls Royce said, man, I can't believe it. You all are a mixture of like the Barcades and Earth, Wind, Fire. It's unbelievable.
Yep.
Earth, Wind, Fire came to our show. We was playing at the club.
Yep, yep.
What was his name?
It was on 95th Street. We were at the first Copper Box.
Okay.
It was at the club, not the Copper Box 2.
Okay.
We was at the Copper Box. And remember when Satterfield and all that was there?
Yep.
And we did a tribute. I think Clifton was playing with us.
We did a tribute to them.
We did a tribute to
them. Do they remember you from the Intentions days?
No.
Okay.
No.
You were like, you played on our first
Lewis
record?
I told Lewis Satterfield that day, I was saying, you all played behind, but Lewis was playing, he wasn't playing bone, he was playing bass then.
Okay.
And I told him, and I named some of the people, he's like, yeah, I remember you guys.
So that was all in like the mid-80s you're talking about?
Yeah.
But that record you did, it came out around 81, right?
Yeah.
What's the story behind the record? Where did you record it?
At Sky Hero.
Why did it take a few years before you ended up recording originally? Like, you were together for a few years before you recorded, right?
We were really such a show band. We were show band, and like I said, we were working every week. We rehearsed every day. And really, really, for a long time, we didn't have any management. It was just us.
Right.
And then James Thomas came in. And then we ended up working with James Thomas. He got us Eddie Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Thomas had a lot to do with Say Yes. He introduced us to Jesus Wayne.
And Marvin Yancey.
Marvin Yancey worked with us.
He arranged a lot of our stuff.
Who was your manager?
His name was James Thomas.
So you went to Sky Hero to studio
to
record.
Sky Hero.
Where was the studio located?
On 22nd, mm-hmm. right over the... It was right around the corner from Sowers, right around the corner from the other studio. The other studio was right, PNS. Right around the corner
Paul
from PNS.
PPS.
Wow. Yeah, Paul Sereno's.
Paul Sereno's.
It was right from Paul Sereno's. And it was right upstairs over the Checkerboard 2. The Checkerboard 2 lounge was right downstairs. And it was Max Simmons' studio. Remember Max Simmons?
Max Simmons,
the harmonica player.
Yeah, he recorded on Sky Hero.
That was his studio.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we did some things at PNS, too.
Yeah.
It's PS, isn't it?
PS,
yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So you cut that record, and it originally came out on the Sky Hero label, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you released it on your own label?
We released it on Tablet Records.
So who's was it? Just all of your label was Tablet?
That was my idea. Okay. Come on, Tablet record. Yeah. Matter of fact, that's one of my email addresses. Tablet. I love Tablet.
To go along with
New Testament.
Right.
So and that actually got played in Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you distributed it. And it was all because that's hard to like press up a record yourself and get distribution. And
you know,
guy who was working with us, Arrington?
He really didn't work on Say. Yeah, yes, he did. He worked with Say. We had a guy, Arrington, who was working, the guy I mentioned before, was working from A&R
Records.
A&M Records.
Okay.
He worked from A&M. He was helping us. Like I said, we was working with Eddie Thomas.
Okay.
So we was doing...
That he was promoting you?
Yeah, he was doing some stuff.
He said, yeah, Eddie used to come by and tell us, he's come to all our rehearsals, and he come in, and he'll shake his head, he'll go back out. We're like, what's wrong? He said, they not hungry enough. You know, we hadn't been hungry enough. You know, he like, they ain't hungry enough. Then Marvin Yancey come by, oh, y'all still doing shows. They ain't hungry yet. So, you know, we like, well, what do you keep meaning? We ain't hungry yet. So one day we came in, and he said, they ready.
Okay, and that's when they recorded.
That's the ball start.
The guy that leads the song, he's passed.
Yeah, Roscoe Elsie.
Yeah, can we go over who are all the singers and then who are the band members on it?
Yeah. Okay. The where's the picture?
It's in the.
Well, anyway, we basically know everybody.
Well, drummer was Kevin Walker.
Kevin Walker.
Yeah.
Oh God. Okay. Trumpet was
Steve Maynard.
Bass, Reggie Crawford. Lead guitar, Reggie Cotton. Rhythm guitar, me, Andre Cunningham.
Trombone.
Daryl Creasy.
Johnny Cotton,
also trombone.
James Irby. Trumpet.
Ooh, I forgot all about Irby. Yes, he was another trumpet player that came in.
And our sax player.
Garrett Madden. How did anybody forget Mr. Garrett Madden?
Oh, man.
Was he on the picture?
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't with the band at that point.
That was the early point. He hadn't
made it yet. Garrett Madden is one of the best sax players.
And can hold a note.
Even more than 3 minutes. He could sit there and hold one note for at least 5 minutes. And we let him do it one day on stage. And we just walked away.
He did a circular breathing.
Okay. And he would just sit there. I'm like, you got to be kidding me about this. But he did. He was really good.
Roscoe Elsie, the lead singer, was a great
man.
He's gone.
Yes.
He went to school with us, too.
Okay. He didn't sing in your earlier groups. You just met him for the New Testament.
Yeah, he came in later.
We came in with Gene Poole.
Him and Gene Poole, their era was together. Yeah. You know,
Did you know if he sang with another group or anything?
Yeah. We all went to school together.
What was his group?
He sung with a group called Hell's Family.
They had a record called
Big Brother.
Big Brother watching you.
Hell's Family.
Hell's Family. Not Hill, Hales.
Hales Family?
Hales Family, that's right.
Big Brother. Do you know when that came out?
Oh, wow.
That had to come out. We was in Aurora.
Mid-70s.
We was in Aurora when that came out.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, he was on ABC, wasn't he? On RCA?
That was on RCA.
Oh, I think I know that record, actually. Okay, that's interesting. Okay.
RCA.
Yep.
That was Roscoe Elsie. That was Hales Family.
And, so he was in that group before he joined your group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you just knew him from back in your school.
Yeah, we helped him. Me and Will actually helped Roscoe when they were singing with the Goddess. He was singing with this group called the Goddesses, the guy from Suspects mentioned.
Okay.
Roscoe was their lead singer. He had three girls singing behind him.
Okay.
Forsville. The Goddesses loved somebody. Mm-hmm. He was their lead singer.
Okay, and then so your group, how come you never ended up cutting another record?
We did, but we went up under another name.
Okay, what was that?
Faces.
So was that the same group pretty much?
It was
the
same vocal group.
It was the same vocal group. New Testament was they was getting older, their wives, babies start coming. So they mind start traveling. They start growing up.
So everybody wants
to know how New Testament broke up.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they broke up because they grew up.
Just people got careers and drifted apart.
Yeah, they started growing up.
So how long was the group, like what year was the group together till the New Testament?
We were together from 77 or early 78 until 1983.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you formed a group called Faces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They wanted us to go back in and record it again. Because, you know, back then it was like we had 13 pieces, so So they just wanted to bring the vocal in. Jesus wanted to do his thing. You know, the computer started coming in and one man band, and he was outstanding too. So he had put the music together for the next two cuts we had.
Okay. One thing I forgot to ask is I think we went over the band and the lead vocalist. Who were the other vocalists on the New Testament band?
All right. Anthony Thomas, second tenor, first tenor. Reginald Cotton was first tenor, baritone. Wilson Drummer was second tenor. Roscoe Elder was baritone second, and Gene Poole was first
tenor
shooter.
And bass.
He and bass. He did it all. Gene Poole was outstanding.
And before you broke up, how come you guys never recorded anything else? You were just too focused on shows? Is that the reason?
No, after...
Because like you weren't going for recording whole albums or trying to get
a
record?
No, we had albums made out. Hey, Marvin Yancey had arranged our whole album. We had a whole album, but we went in and laid it at P&S.
We was laying stuff down.
Yeah.
We was laying stuff down with, we had stuff from Jesus Wayne and Marvin Yancey.
Right.
Marvin Yancey just really rearranged all our stuff.
Yeah, because we had one that Cotton wrote and Anthony wrote. Mm. And...
Take Away Love.
That was a great one, but we never did lay it. We laid it in P&S, but we never did put it out.
And were you trying to get a record deal?
Yes. We were trying to get a record deal. And I think we really didn't have a lot of money. We had a lot of show. We didn't have a lot of money. We didn't know the business. We were just great entertainers. We really wasn't business minded. And what happened was, two things happened with Say Yes, actually. Say Yes, we ran into some trouble with Say Yes, even it being a great record. It came out the exact time that the Whispers had Say Yes and Lakeside had Say Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it was three Say Yeses
out of Say Yeses. So I was, every time they played it and they had contests, especially on the college station, and here in KKC, we won. We stopped playing on BMX and stuff at that time. But, you know, somebody was like, get that record off. You know, take that record off. If we would have known what we will now, we could have went back in there and just changed the name from Say Yes to Never Knew.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We wouldn't have a problem.
So you weren't successful because two other groups had a record with the same name.
Same name. And on the same label, they were both on Solar.
Okay. Yep. And so you never tried to get a deal after that?
Plus, Jesse tried to get us a deal with Solar.
Yeah, Jesse was trying to get us.
Jesse was trying to help us, too.
But anyway, so after... We were trying to finish the album and stuff. We had a problem with Say Yes. Then people were telling us that we should have put it out on a 12-inch instead of a 45, because 45 went out exactly that year.
Okay. And then the group broke up soon after that. So I'm going to play the Faces record because we've been talking for a while, and then we can talk more about it.
That's still New Testament, but it was just a different name.
Okay. So this is the Faces. What's this track called?
Diamond Eyes.
Okay, here it is.
She just doesn't love. You make. I just want to move her on down.
She's got diamond eyes. That you got
Okay, that was just a group called Faces, and what was the track called again?
Diamond Eyes.
Diamond Eyes.
And what year did that come out?
That'd be 85, 86.
So we were just talking about how the New Testament band had broken up, and some of the vocalists formed a new group called Faces.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come up with the name Faces?
People used to always remember us. You with New Testament. You with New Testament. But we couldn't be New Testament because we didn't have all those together. So, Faces. They remember our faces.
Okay.
So, we said Faces. And I think it was me.
I came up with it.
And so, who were the vocalists on that record?
Anthony Thomas, Gene Poole, and Wilson, drummer.
And Jesus Wayne.
He sings backup.
Who sings
lead on it?
Me.
Okay.
That was you and
Gene Poole.
Yeah.
And who produced the record? Was it
Jesus Wayne?
And it came out on a label. Was it Sounds of Chicago?
Yeah, SOC label.
And I never even seen the record. Like, I know Al Hunter had a record on that label too. Do you know how you got with the label? Was it Jesus hooked it up?
Jesus hooked it up. Yeah. I think we did that at Tanglewood.
Yeah. Mm. Right. At Tanglewood Record Studios.
Yeah.
And did you know who ran the label?
No.
Okay.
I saw that dude once. Me and James talked to that guy once. And that was it. Because like I said, another problem happened with that. It was that era, it came out on a 45. And we kept telling them, man, put it on a 12-inch at least. But it came out on a 45, and nobody was even touching for it. They were just completely not bothering 45s, just about being.
Okay. So did Faces do any shows?
Yes, we did. Faces end up, it's so funny, Faces end up turning from Faces right back to NTB.
Okay.
So we started doing shows as NTB.
Now Together Brothers instead of New Testament Band.
Okay.
Nobody actually knew that but me and Will.
Yeah.
But everybody else still NTB was still going as New Testament Band, but me and Will knew what NTB stood for.
Okay.
But we went strictly from Faces to NTB.
Because
basically everything we did after then, if you notice, we was doing just NTB.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we started doing things. We did the Bernie Mac thing with Bernie.
What was the Bernie Mac thing?
Downtown at Melchineers.
He had a show down there.
And Johnny Cotton, which was a member of New Testament, he was a trombone player. He started playing for Bernie's band. And he kept on telling me about, oh man, my brother and him, yeah, they used to be New Testament, blah, blah, blah. Come on, check them out. Bernie said, I heard enough about these guys. You know how Bernie is. Bring them on down. Let me hear how they sound. And down then,
He didn't see us until after the show.
Right.
So I guess he went on the word of the band because he heard the band. I can't remember. The band was Reggie. The musician was Reggie. He
the MD.
Yeah, the MD. And so I guess he took his word for us. So we did two numbers and just demolished the joint. Mm-hmm. I mean, totally demolished the joint. And he was like, and when we just walked off, not Bernie Mac. Bernie Mac had a language of his own. He was like, who are those arrogant so-and-sos just left on my show? Tell my show make it hard for me to come on. You don't make it hard for me to come on my show.
And where was it? I heard about him doing shows. It was at Miltrainer's Club.
Miltrainer's used to be Dingbats.
Where was the club located?
Up north, I forgot. Yeah. We basically we knew what clubs was, but never knew the address. You can't ask entertainers what the address was. We just knew what the club was.
So that show you did with Bernie, opening for Bernie Mac, was it like 87, something like that?
That was 90.
No, it was 95.
It was 95.
95.
Were you as NTB?
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, you know what? Actually, we were all doing stuff because I had went on the house stuff. I went on tour and went to Europe and stuff. Was doing all the house music stuff, and Will was singing with another group. I mean, Cotton. I know he was working. He started even working Sound and was working with Contagious. Yeah. You was working with Contagious. Mm-hmm. You was working with Easy and Contagious. Smokey was doing blues. He was playing on the blues circuit, and I think Cunningham had started doing his own computer. He's a computer
business.
Yeah. So. Somebody, a guy that we knew that owned a bunch of hair shops, got us together. Man, why don't you come down and do something, you know? And people kept trying to put us together, and we end up doing that Bernie Mac thing. And we got bid for a few minutes, and we started doing a few shows. Did y'all ever come back and play?
Yeah, we did a reunion. Remember,
We did one reunion show.
It was a sold out crowd. We had to shut the doors down and have two show people just all outside because we hadn't been together for 10 years.
Sarah J's.
So actually, you guys got into a bunch of stuff that you did in the meantime. Mm. So can we talk about that? Like Anthony, you said you got into house music.
Yeah, I started doing house music.
What are some of the things you did?
I had a great record called Promised Land. Me and Joe Smooth, I hooked up with Joe Smooth. Did a big record called Promised Land. Steel Plays.
What label was that on?
On DJ International. Okay. House label.
So it's like a classic house
record? Yeah, it's a classic. It's a classic house track. I worked with Daryl Pandy. House people know who Daryl Pandy is. I worked with Daryl Pandy. I worked with Tyree Cooper. These are house legends. Tyree Cooper. Julian Jumpin' Perez. I did vocals for just about everybody.
So the records came out under their name, but you're the vocalist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I did a lot of, And then I did have my own. I got a couple of them. I did my own, You Don't Love Me, Tonight I Really Need Someone. And I did another.
Were those 12 inches?
I did another one called Swing Down, where I was the only father and son at that particular time. Me and Tony did a record. My son did the rap. I did the hook.
What label?
DJ International.
Okay.
DJ International. So I did a lot. And then I did a lot of get ghost vocals on people record on DJ International.
Like other people's house. Okay.
My name is not on, but I did the lead and stuff for
it. But people would recognize your voice if they heard it?
At the house people would.
Okay.
And
what music did you said something about a group called Contagious?
Yeah.
What was that?
It was a neighborhood band that formed after everything was done, and they was a local good band, great band. And I ended up, Cotton was playing guitar for them, and then I came along and started playing drums.
Was that a late 80s band?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe 90s too.
Yeah, because quite as getting funny. I ain't no singing with them too for a while.
Yeah. Yeah,
I played drums for a while.
Yeah. Oh, you played for it too? So,
mm-hmm. They was the next coming up band.
Did you record anything?
No, I don't think they recorded. No, they never recorded anything.
Okay.
They're basically still playing now. They're under a name called Family Reunion, but they still play now.
With Leonard. What's his name? Leonard
Hurd.
And Kenneth, you said you played blues.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the story with that? Who did you play with?
I played with a lot of different blues artists. Buddy Guy, Coco Taylor, Valerie Wellington. You might remember
Valerie Wellington.
Yeah. That's how I actually got my start with Valerie Wellington. Carlos Johnson. Let's see. Who else did I play with? Some of the Chicago local blues guys like... I can't think of his name. Just a lot of local blues guys I played with.
Do you still play with blues?
Yes, every now and then, yes.
Okay.
I played with a guy named Bobby Slim James, called Bobby Slim James and the Variety Blues Band.
Where do you do shows at?
Anywhere they call us.
Okay.
We do a show every fourth Sunday, every other fourth Sunday at the Blue Chip Casino in Michigan City.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we do that now currently.
And do you guys know if any of the other group members were got involved with any other bands or groups or anything like that?
Yeah, me myself.
Yeah.
Well, what do you do?
Well, I've been out in Reno and Vegas for the last 8 years, working with a group out of there, coming out of Concept West Agency out there in Reno, Nevada. Worked with the Commodores, the Spinners. We're all on the same label, the same ticket, well, you know, promoting-wise. And I've been out there just about there playing drums with some great cats. Sugar Bear played guitar from Denver, Colorado. Perry Hughes from Amarillo, Texas played bass, and I was a drummer from Chicago.
And but you don't sing anymore, you just play drums?
No, right now I'm starting a new project.
Okay.
It's a tribute to Earth, Wind & Fire.
Okay.
I'll be Maurice White.
So in Vegas, is there a certain venue you play at, or you play all over?
Well, anywhere the agency sends us. We did Carson City, Virginia City. I even played on Bonanza, the ranch, Bonanza, and the Ponderosa.
Okay.
It's in Nevada. This guy had bought the ranch for his daughter just to ride horses. And
okay.
He was able to go out there for a roast and played out there. It was really exciting.
So do you do music full-time now there?
That's what I do full-time.
Okay. Well, it's cool that you're able to make a living doing it finally.
Yeah. It's starting to come again.
Okay.
I'm with a group called The Voices. We're an upcoming group. We do a lot of casino stuff. We do, the Majestics and the songs and things like that. So that's what I do.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm singing with this group. Call the voice now.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for everybody coming down and telling your story.
Had an
interesting story.
Not a problem. Anytime.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you were involved with so many groups, and you even found out about records I never even heard of today, which is unusual because I have a lot of records. So do you have any last words for the audience?
It's not over yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay, well, I'll let people know. I hope you guys put out more stuff and, you know, something comes out. So thanks again. And this last record I'm going to play. Should I play that? Okay.
Can I play?
Yeah, Testimized.
Okay, this is the New Testament Band with Get Testimized.